You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
To We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium.
Yep, we're the pop culture professors. Smart people, dumb topic.
That's right. That smart person you just heard is Caitlin Bitsagai. And this dumb topic right here is Lauren Brickman.
You love that joke. You always want to
Well,
do that.
You never ever fell for it, so I just had to do it myself.
I'm too smart. You know, we've both taught courses at the college level. Mm-hmm. We have mastered degrees. We've mastered degrees. Mm-hmm. That's how that works. Mm-hmm.
And yours is in English, right?
Let's not go to the record books.
Okay. Well, this is a crash course in all things stanning. Being an obsessive fan of something. Caitlin, what are you stanning this week?
Okay. I'm stanning humanity, karma, and one particular resident of Moses Lake, Washington, a stranger to me.
Okay.
However, friends and followers know this past weekend that I went to New Orleans to celebrate my dad's birthday. Mm-hmm. And friends and followers will also know that I love losing things. Mm-hmm. And I lost my driver's license. Okay, you know, I leave New Orleans on Sunday. I brought my passport with me, by the way, because I do stuff like this. So I have systems in place.
Okay.
Tuesday, I get it in the mail.
What?
With a note from someone who said, a musician found this, told me to send it to you. It's clearly an old lady. You can tell by the handwriting. And they did not put their name, but their return address was Moses Lake, Washington, Washington State.
Aww.
So Moses Lake, shout out. I'm staying you.
That's amazing. I've never had my license returned to me, and I've lost it many times. That's incredible.
Well, maybe if this person finds it.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And they said they've lost theirs before. They had sympathy. They didn't make fun of me, you know.
Man, remember when I lost my license at the Prudential Center at the New Kids on the Block concert, and they did make fun of me. I called and they were like, girl, it's never coming home.
Oh, but what if you'd gotten a letter from Donnie Wahlberg?
Well, he is the king of feminism, so that could have happened.
That would work. Now, what are you standing?
Okay, so friend of the show and former guest, Victoria Edel, casually asked me the other day if I had seen the TV show Starstruck on HBO Max. And to be frank, I had barely knew what it was when she mentioned it in passing. I've now completed watching the entire series. Every episode was finished, and I love it. It's
what
so
is the premise? I don't even good. Know.
The premise is there's an Australian girl living in London. She's a little quirky. She hasn't quite figured it out. She hasn't, you know, found her way. She's not really winning at adulting. And she has a one night stand on New Year's Eve with a man she finds out the next morning is a huge A-list celebrity in London.
Okay.
And it's really cute because you check, you like see these two characters through the course of a year, basically. And it's really cute. It's like, you know, all my favorite rom-com tropes, but the casting is so much smarter and so much more fun.
That's what great. I'm saying. Yeah. You know, speaking of smart and fun, I got to move on. I got to talk to today's guest.
Oh, today's guest.
And you know what? A special place because this is, we're calling ourselves a pop culture professors. This person was my student once upon a time.
Oh my gosh.
Please welcome Rashida Crockett.
Hey.
Hello.
Yes, fun fact, Caitlin, you were my Sketch 101 and 201 professor.
Yes.
Wow.
Teacher's pet.
You liked her so much you went back for a second helping. That's sweet.
Almost 301. I just don't think they had a lot of sketch teachers on deck. And Caitlin was like helping the world over at UCB, Caitlin, saving us.
Caitlin needed money.
One student at a time.
I wanted to learn comedy.
Caitlin was just always at the training center. They're like, we might as well let her work.
Yep. Basically a farmhand to the old comedy theater system.
Huge place in my heart. Another fun fact, when I first got interested in, I took Caitlin's sketch class, and then I was interested in working in a writer's room. So I sent out some emails to just like all of my past teachers, which was Caitlin plus one, because she taught me so many times. But, you know, like, and people who I had interned for, Caitlin was the first person to write me back, and she gave me great advice that I still like recite till this day. So,
aww. Yeah.
She's the bomb.
And now Rashida's a huge success on BET Plus's Bigger. So you're welcome, America.
And you know, it's your show Bigger that inspired today's theme. We were watching the show, which is so fun. And it's one of the big themes of the show is all of these 30 somethings kind of trying to figure out what it means to be an adult. And so today we're talking about adulting. It doesn't sound like it's going to be fun, but I promise you, we're making adulting fun today. Now, Caitlin, what are your adulting credits?
We like to give our credits, make our listeners feel welcome. Like, who are these women? Can we trust them? I, speaking of writing, wrote commercials and I guess promo spots for a week of MTV programming that was dedicated to the relaunch of My Super Sweet 16. So the first adult party that you have. And the copy was for Shawn Mendes, folks.
Wow, that's huge. That's huge.
That's a good credit.
All right, how about you, Lauren?
Well, you know, go with me on this one. So yesterday I was having brunch. Is it brunch if it's at 4 p.m.? I'm not sure. But I was having a meal of some sort with my college roommates.
And yesterday was Wednesday.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Wasn't going to even bring that up. Like, okay, just in the middle of the week.
Yeah, it was midweek, you know, college roommates. We all decided a Wednesday midweek was the day.
I think
you were
on a bender.
Well, the weird thing is there was no alcohol because one of my friends is pregnant. So nobody drinks and she can't drink. So it was a very sober midweek brunch. Very adult. But I knew that I was adult for the first time truly yesterday because yesterday afternoon we were walking. My friend no longer lives in New York. She was visiting and she was like wanting to hit all her favorite spots. We were walking past the Whitney doing sort of a nostalgia tour. And I saw Julianne Moore standing there. Like I just like literally she was just standing there. And I once had like one line in a movie with her. And a PA told me once, if you see her, just say hi to her because she'll always remember everyone she's ever worked with. But yesterday she looked really tense and she looked really stressed. And even though all I wanted to do was go up to her and say, hi, do you remember me? I didn't. I let her go about her day. And I think that proves I'm an adult. I let that poor woman just like go about her day. So.
And she's somewhere being like, that girl that had that line didn't say anything to me.
Yeah. Like,
that's what I hope.
You didn't follow good advice. Why?
No, she looked like she was trying to, she was solving problems on the phone.
Gotcha.
For That's some reason, normal. she was having a tense, Julianne, I assume you listen to this podcast, reach out. I hope everything's okay. If not, if you need anything, it just seemed like things were tense on that call outside the Whitney. Oh, also, what was she? She was on a phone call. That's why I didn't. If she wasn't on the phone, I also have to know why she was alone outside the Whitney on a very tense looking phone call. I will think about this moment for the rest of my life.
That feels like something that would happen in one of her movies.
Right? Anyways, that was a moment of me just being like, I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to be that crazy girl. Felt like adulting. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, Rashida, what about you? Other than starring in a very successful series on BET, which, you know, I guess that is a form of adulting, you know, success.
But I have other adulting credits.
Yeah, what are your other adulting credits?
So, I was invited to a Juneteenth cookout on Saturday, and I had to decline the invitation because I am on a very strict meal plan.
Wow.
And I don't have the discipline to go to this cookout and not eat and drink like a maniac. So I just said no.
Wow. Knowing yourself is a big adulting thing.
There
Wow. Sometimes the biggest yes is to say no, you know?
Whoa.
Wow. Well, I've never felt like I was in the company of more mature adult people than this moment right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're ready to play our first game.
That's right. This is a game I call Adulting or Faltering, because we all know the special type of Real Housewife that is cast when she's under 40. Now, these are a strange crop of women who we either learn to root for or they just wither away. So, Rashida, I know you're a fan. I'm going to give you some names of these women, and you're going to tell me whether you think that they are adulting or faltering.
Okay.
And please give us your reasons why. All right. First up, it's got to be Portia from Real Housewives of Atlanta. She's adulting or she's faltering?
Okay. Season one, Portia was faltering. She was not excelling. But present day Portia, right, you know, standing on the front line for Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
She went and did a quick bid for that. I can't even say that's not adulting to stand up for a cause. She came back, cleaned up the whole Underground Railroad madness. That was some madness.
For the listeners that don't know, she once did look for, what was it, the entrance to the train?
She thought the Underground Railroad was a choo-choo train. And not, you know,
but now
a path
she's
in the woods.
Going to Louisville. She's getting arrested. She's doing it. But then the reason she keeps us interested and she's a great housewife is then now her most recent antics to be engaged to the friend of housewife's ex-husband.
That's a business. Let me tell y'all, there is some things I just won't touch because you never know what tomorrow holds.
Wow. Well said.
I mean, what other thing do I love about Portia? My favorite takeaway, Portia's a adulting. At the reunion,
we agree.
Somebody called her a bitch. Portia said, bitch? Like, bitch?
Like she's just learning that word.
That took me out. Portia, 3 to 4, maybe even 5 seasons ago, I don't really recall how long she's been on the series, but like she might have dragged somebody. Not present day Portia. Why? She's adulting.
It's true. Adulting. And adulting is not linear. It's ups and downs, but overall,
she
all
comes
the way
in
up.
Waves. Yes.
All right. And next one is Ashley from Real Housewives of Potomac.
Faltering. Faltering. I faltering, period.
Even with the, what is it, baby Dean and the second baby. Oh my.
Ashley Darby.
Yes. Excuse me, Ashley Darby. I didn't say her full name.
From a cloth that I have not seen yet. She is about, I have never seen, girl. you know what? Again, there's some things I just won't touch because you never know what tomorrow can hold.
You never know. Rashida may tomorrow marry a 60-year-old Australian man, and God bless you.
Who's a hot mess. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh. It's the sexual assault for me that has been a through line.
It's a little bit of a red flag. A little bit. He's been accused by multiple crew members of all people.
Castmates, crew members, people who have seen it. Like, yeah, faltering. But I wish her well.
Okay. All right. Of course. Needless to say, we wish them needless all well. All right. And what about Leah from Roni?
This is bad because I don't watch Roni.
Wow.
I saw the quality of Roni once and I was like, this don't look like Beverly Hills.
Wow.
Real Housewives of Johannesburg be looking better than Roni.
These are the boldest words ever spoken on this podcast.
And I stand I stand to it. I stand, look, get at me. Roni looks bad.
Do you mean the quality of the
The quality of the show does not match the quality of the rest of the franchise.
Maybe because it's one of the oldest ones. Like they started filming it on VHS or something and they still do that.
And then just, you know what? We're gonna stick to film. We're purists.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's for the Criterion Collection. You know, you got to consider. All right. Then we got to go back to Potomac. What about Candace? Yeah, tough one.
She's so childish. She's so immature. I don't think it's tough. I think that she's a brat. She's childish. And you never know what tomorrow holds. But how you get your ass beat in public and still don't know how to control your mouth? Like, wasn't that the whole point?
Yeah.
Didn't it lead up in front of everybody? Okay, well, I'll go there.
Is hard that she was physically assaulted and it was really tough to watch. But then there's still some people that are somehow not on her side because of the way she acted afterwards.
And the way she acted before. No one should put their hands on anyone, right? No one should be out here being assaulted or, you know, abused. I don't think that's cool. I also feel like don't go nuts asking people to fight you if you can't fight.
There we go.
If you ain't got the
hands. You don't know what tomorrow breaks.
What tomorrow holds. So that's a note for me.
All right. Since you didn't watch Roni, I don't know if you'll know this next person either, but do you know Gina from Real Housewives of Orange County?
That's not the one whose son went to jail, right? From seasons ago.
No.
Saddest episode.
Though there's been some really sad stuff on Orange
since
County.
Since then? Really, yeah. Orange, OC
across
dark.
It. Always bad stuff.
Always bad stuff.
Always bad stuff. And then you don't know Tinsley because you don't watch New York.
No.
And did you watch Dallas?
They ain't got enough black girls for me in Dallas.
Which is weird. They just added the first woman of color, which I was going to ask you about, Dr. Tiffany Moon, who is only 35, as she reminds us often. But does she need some help adulting? As is our new catchphrase, we don't know what tomorrow brings.
You never know what tomorrow holds.
We can't say. I could be a 35-year-old doctor tomorrow.
Strong come up. That's a strong and quick come up. You have to be intentional.
Yeah. Well, all right. So we really only had Portia as adulting, ultimately.
How old is Doree?
I included in the game those that started Housewives under 40, and I think she was like 41.
Really? Doree looks amazing.
She does. Mm-hmm. She keeps looking better.
She only looks better every season. She is one of my favorite housewives.
She's grown on me a lot. I like PK too. They're funny.
They're a fun couple. Girl, it's the fashion for me. Doree comes, she gives looks. And we'll never stop.
And, you know, Boy George lives with them sometimes. That's relatable.
She lives a sparkly life.
All right. Well, thank you for playing Adulting or Faltering. Portia was clearly the winner. Potomac did not do well. And Roni was told that the video quality is not good enough on their show.
That's how I feel. I cannot watch. Okay. I already said it. I don't have to repeat.
All right. Thank you for playing.
Wow. Rashida, I feel like I understand the Housewives on a whole new level. I will never look at them the same way again. Now good. I know.
Good, good, because they don't all deserve to be viewed the same.
Yeah. You know, listeners, we're going to take a quick break. I have a strongly worded letter to write to Andy Cohen and the entire staff of Bravo, because they need to know not all housewives are created equal. We'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
All right. LaCroix up, refreshed, time to take on a thesis. So, folks, I wanted to talk to you today on the theme of adulting, on this question. What's the difference between change and what is growth? Growth versus change, and are they the same? And particularly, I was thinking about this in terms of young female characters on shows. And there's this book called 8 Characters of Comedy, which is really good. And they identify a character called the princess that we see in a lot of different sitcoms in particular. And they're obviously kind of materialistic, maybe boy crazy, maybe self-centered, often the butt of other jokes. But what I find interesting when we examine them is how different shows let them change and grow and change or grow. And it's just sort of a topic of discussion because I was thinking about these different examples. And the first one is Jackie from That 70s Show, who was played by Mila Kunis. I think like the most fun character on the show, completely treated horribly by everyone on the show throughout, always the butt of jokes. But it's weird because she dates every guy on the show, but they had date every girl on the show. Like, there's total double standard of the way she's treated. She has like 30 jobs. They all do. Kelso's last job on the show is a security guard at the Playboy Club in Chicago, or that's what he goes to do. Like, it's a silly show, but for some reason they act like the way she is silly is so wrong. And I think the show doesn't know how to treat her and doesn't know how to have her grow. And I feel like that's why the show sort of stalled out, in my opinion, because they didn't see that people are identifying with Jackie and they want to grow with Jackie and not Foreman. And then she marries Fez and it's like, okay.
Fez in no real world was gonna pull no miracle. Who are y'all talking to? Like, carry on.
Who were you talking to? That we need to get to. And my question is, were they talking to Joss Whedon? Because we should have known Joss Whedon was suspect. Because the way that his female character, spoiler for all his shows, by the way, but if you haven't seen them at this point, I don't know. But Cordy, Anya, and even Buffy, they all change, but then they die. Like, he doesn't allow for that. Like, you're going to get killed. Maybe you'll get resurrected, but you're going to get killed if you try to change. But then I was thinking about the queen of this category of princesses, which is Hilary Banks from Fresh Prince. And I watched the Fresh Prince reunion, which we talked about on this show. And I really loved something Karen Parsons said about Hillary.
Producers and the writers wanted to make Hillary a strong Black woman. They wanted to like see that switch in her. And then I felt like, you know, there are some people who are just flawed and see things a certain way, and you can learn a lot from them too.
Look, I'm a career woman. I don't have time to dust and push around that, what do you call that big loud thing that sucks up everything.
So that's, I loved that. That was such a great moment in the reunion to me, where she stood up for Hillary, kind of to the writers, to be like, you don't have to conform to whatever you guys think a strong Black woman is. Hillary already is that, because she's already cool. She's already funny. She's already someone some people can relate to, some people laugh at. And that's okay. That makes her a human being. She's not a perfect character. She's very flawed. But we do see her grow, of course, after Trevor, you know,
dies. I was going to say her whole husband died. That's
bungee jumping. And she does grow up a little bit after that, but she's still her essential heart. And of course, for me, it all goes back to Hilary Banks. Then when I started thinking about characters that came right after her and the way that I think they were able to retain their like femininity, even retain, let's say, their selfishness and still thrive, and audiences love them. And the shows understood this. And I'm talking about like Rachel Green from Friends, Regine Hunter from Living Single, Fran Fine from The Nanny, Kelly from The Office. Like, those are some of the most popular characters. And I think it's because the shows allowed them, yes, to grow up, but growing up doesn't mean turning into someone else's like respectability character. So I guess my thesis is Hillary Banks changed everything.
Yeah. I love it. That documentary, bringing them all back together to talk about that show is like maybe the best thing that's happened in my life to me personally. I was so good.
To you personally. I mean, maybe I watched it a second time just to prepare for this thesis, but
I've watched it so many times, but you're so right. Like, we've brought it up on this show multiple times, but it was just, it's so smart. And that like so many roads lead back to that show and that the hard work that that cast was doing. Like, you're absolutely right. As soon as you said that, it's like, yeah, who didn't love Hillary? Like, my God, like, that's so true. Like, there's so, like, there is such a direct line from Hillary to so many of those other characters. And I love that so much. That's so cool. She should. Why is Hillary Banks not on Money?
Oh my gosh. I mean,
the money is reserved for the white men.
It's time for Hillary Banks.
We need a $7 bill and get Hillary Banks on
that. I would live. I would just collect them. Rashida, why aren't you spending any of your money? Because Hillary's on the seven.
That's the thing. It would go out of circulation. It's like those dollar coins that no one uses.
It's like a $2 bill. Who's on a $2 bill?
I don't know. I've only seen a $2 bill once. It was framed in someone's house.
Mr. There Jefferson, you go. Am I making this up? Well, the world may never know.
And, you know, it's not for us to know. It's not That's for just not us. Our business.
I have to speak on this changing versus growing, because I do think that they're two different things. I think some people need to change, right? Like, no, you're doing something bad and you have to stop doing this thing that you do because it's bad, right? You need to change. But I think that there are some people who I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope you never change. I hope you grow. I hope you become more polished and, you know, grow into your destiny, because that's what growth is, right? You were born with a purpose. If you were a lemon tree, right? You were a lemon tree when you were a seed, but you know, you're planted and you grow and you fulfill the destiny and purpose of the seed that was planted, right? Of what you were always supposed to become. And I don't think people are supposed to become monsters, right? They're supposed to become people. So yes, if you're doing monstrous things, you might need to change. Or you might just be human and flawed, and I'm looking forward to watching you grow and become more polished into the best version of yourself.
Well said.
That's beautiful. It is so interesting, the difference between change and growth. Like, I'm, as you all know, I'm rewatching Pretty Little Liars. I'm pretty far into it. And I do think, like, one of the things I remembered that kept me watching through the end is that even when, like, the world and the story got, like, so absolutely iconically, terribly insane and the way it gets more and more problematic as it goes on is iconic. But to your point, Rashida, the cool thing is, though, the core four characters, we get to watch them grow instead of change. I think that is part of it. Like, as like much bullshit is happening all around them, and I'm like, what is happening? What is this show? Those four main characters were so true to like who I loved in that first season that like that kept me going. I was like, I'm still on this journey because that seed that got planted in that first season is there still, no matter what other bullshit is around it. That's crazy. TV's wild, y'all.
It's so wonderful.
We love it.
We love it. And love speaking of loving TV, we've got another game to celebrate our love of TV. Now, I went down a pretty wild rabbit hole of think pieces about adulting, because I was trying to learn. I was trying to figure out, like, when did we start using adulting the way that we use it? And I've read all of these articles and etymology things, and a lot of the think pieces really seem to think that the term adulting is deeply rooted in sexism. And I found this quote from a 2017 Washington Post article that says, young women are just afraid to be public about their actual achievements because if their public persona is self-assured, they are also perceived to be less likable. And so this whole, like, I've read a bunch of different articles that were saying that, like, adulting, at least amongst millennials, became a way for a lot of women to, like, underplay their success and make themselves more approachable. And I had never really, like, thought of it. Like, I had never really, like, put two and two together and seen that. But then I was starting to, like, they were showing all these different examples of different people on social media who were sort of doing that. And then I was thinking, I was like, oh, wow, there are a lot of, like, characters on TV that do that behavior, that, like, the successful woman, but she's kind of a mess. And I was like, oh, wow, suddenly was, like, flooded by examples. But then I was like, I don't really want to spend time looking at that. I was like, I'm more excited about the badass ladies who were not afraid to adult on TV. And so I want to play a little game called Who's the Lady Boss? Because as many examples as we have of what the Washington Post article was talking about, we also have a lot of examples about women who were on TV. They were kicking ass, taking names, and they weren't apologizing for it. So, Rashida, I'm going to play you an audio clip of someone I think is a lady boss, and you're going to guess who this lady boss is.
Okay, I hope I win.
I can already tell you're going to win. I feel it deeply in my bones. All right, here we go. Clip number one.
So sorry I'm late. Thank you for coming. Oh, good to see you.
Nico, step into the good light. Thank you so much for coming. Ladies and gentlemen, the must debate of 2007. Animal rights versus fashion rights. Just who is right?
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No, but that's a great guess. This is a little bit older of a show.
Who is it?
That was the one, the only, Vanessa Williams as Wilhelmina Slater on Ugly Betty.
Oh my gosh, girl. When she first came out, I thought it was Rena. Okay, what's the next one?
Okay. All right, here we go. Clip number two.
Are you through with that?
Yeah, sorry, the swallowing slowed me down.
Whose little ball of paper is this?
Oh, that would be mine. See, I wrote a note to myself, and then I realized I didn't need the note, so I balled it up, and now I wish I was dead.
Monica.
Absolutely. You crushed yes. that one. One of the things I love about Monica is she's like, I love to clean, and I'm not apologizing for it. Like, let's make cleanup cool. All right. You're one for two. I feel like we've really turned a corner. Here's clip number three.
I did what I had to do for my client. I made a tough call. You don't like it, Abby? Too bad. It is my name on that door, not yours.
What I wanted
to Olivia Pope.
Yes. Now, I had to put an Olivia Pope quote in there because I went to your website and it says that you do an Olivia Pope impression. So I was like, I feel like she's going to hear that voice and know it because it's
hard. Is that what they said? Is that impression up there, girl?
Ooh. All right. Awesome. We're two for three. I think we're on a winning streak. Here is clip number four.
That's it. That's the answer. Come on, let's go.
Please, I would like to hear a little bit more about this, like what it is.
In our society, we are constantly being told no, don't, can't.
King of Queens.
This is like the original blueprint for King of Queens in some ways, I think. Should I play a little more?
Yes.
I gave you a list of specific things to do with him today. Where is that list?
I don't know. Where do things go when you flush?
All right. Come on. Come on, Billy. Time for you to go to bed. Come on. Get going.
Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. Where are you going?
To Mona's.
Why, sweetheart?
Because I want to live with her. Bye.
Tony. Did he just say that he was leaving us for my mother? What are we doing wrong?
I have no idea. You think Herb and Willa have a hotline?
Is that Tony Danza?
Mm-hmm. Context clues.
Oh, who's the boss?
Yes. And who was his female counterpart on that show?
I can't. I can't even say can't. I'm having a trouble recalling her name.
It's okay. It's Judith Light, who played Angela on Who's the Boss.
Angela.
I couldn't name a game Who's the Lady Boss and not include Angela.
Angela.
Also, I couldn't include Wilhelmina Slater from Ugly Betty and Vanessa Williams and not also have a Judith Light moment. Right. You have to, with one, you must have the other. They're yin and yang.
Fun fact. Tony Danza graduated from my high school. Shout out to Malvern High.
Did he like stop by ever? I feel like never. He's the kind of guy that would just stop by. No? Okay.
Never.
Damn.
He never came back.
All right. Well, you're even. You're two for two. I think this last clip is going. I have a feeling this last clip is going to set you up for success and it's going to be incredible. All right. Here we go. Tied like the Clippers. Here we go.
Dumbass. Now everybody knows what I look like without makeup on. That was the only way I wasn't being recognized. And now everyone is on my shit. Keep it hobbling, Peppa.
That would have to be Tracy Davis cussing out Vince.
Yes!
On Bigger, on BET+. Please go watch our show.
I'm glad that you recognized your own voice. We would have had a real situation on our hands had you not.
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine? But I think Tracy is an absolute lady boss. And so I think she needed to be included because she's not apologizing. Well, Rashida, congratulations. You won. Name that lady boss. Who's the lady boss? Fabulous job.
I wouldn't say I won. I just didn't lose.
Okay, that's fair. I like someone who's really honest about where they're at, you know. But to me, you're a winner, and we're gonna take a quick break because I'm gonna go make you a trophy because I think you deserve one. So I'm gonna go build a trophy real quick. We'll be right back. Together.
Stan stands. The time has come. We Stand Together is back live on stage with a whole new show full of games, quizzes, Hannibal references nobody asked for, and so much more.
It's so true. Monday, June 28th at 10:30 p.m., we're going to be live on stage at the Squirrel Theater's residency at Caveat on Clinton Street in Lower East Side, New York City.
So go right now to thesquirrelnyc.com to buy your tickets. They're only $15 in advance.
There's going to be beer, wine, laughs, other human beings sitting at tables. Remember tables?
Oh my God, I've missed tables, and we've missed you too, Stan Stans. So don't forget to bring your proof of vaccination to Caveat Theater on June 28th. We'll see you there, Stan Stans.
Okay, so I tried to make a trophy. It's a work in progress. Right now it's just some slices of vegan cheese and some empty LaCroix cans. But I promise you, it's gonna be a masterpiece. But we don't have time to waste. We gotta talk about something that's been on my mind since we started talking about this topic of adulting, and it's that. You know, I was again going back into my memories of TV viewing as a kid, and I was, for some reason, this has come up in the conversation quite a bit lately. Like, when I look back on things that I really, really loved as a kid, a lot, of course I had my kid content, but like, I loved adult content starting at like a really young age. Like, there are things that I'm like, I saw that when I was in like second grade. I really liked it. What was it that I liked about it? And one show in particular that I rewatched early on in quarantine that I watched when it was originally on the air and I was far too young. And this is a show, like a lot of the shows like that, like my mom was maybe watching, like Sisters, my mom was watching and I would watch with her. So like, it makes sense. My dad, especially when I was younger, traveled. So it's like, okay, like mom's watching Melrose Place. She's letting me stay up late. Like that made sense. But one of the first like adult TV shows I remember watching, like that nobody else in my house was watching. Like mom wasn't watching it, dad wasn't, nobody was watching it. None of my friends were talking about it. Like I don't know what possessed me to watch this show, but Ally McBeal. I was a avid Ally McBeal fan and I watched it alone. I literally watched it alone. I had no one to watch it with me. I didn't talk about it at school with anyone. But for some reason, I watched it all the time. And like back in the day, y'all remember this, like we didn't have TV on demand. Like if you missed an episode, you would have to wait weeks, months, years before you saw it again. And I had like forgotten what day or something like Ally McBeal was on it. Like the last season, for whatever reason, I had gotten off my viewing. And I remember my mom helping me like make to be like, okay, we have to like get home so you can watch Ally McBeal. And my mom would be like, okay, Ally McBeal's on. And then she'd just like leave me in her bedroom to watch it. And I was like, I've been like trying to figure out like rewatching it. I'm like, what was it? Like, I didn't, like, what was it about this show? And I think I finally maybe have a thesis about why as a child I liked that show so much. And I think it's because it was one of the rare shows that made adulting actually look fun. Like, Ally was having fun being an adult, even when her life was a mess, even when she was like heartbroken, she was like seeing cartoons and like, you know, her biological clock led to dance parties, right? Like she was, even when she was in crisis, there was like a playfulness and a joy to it that made being an adult not look scary. It looked like something you're like, I want to do that. Like, I want to be a grown up. Like, why they're just like going to that bar and singing songs on stage. That looks cool, right? Like, and I think like there were a lot of shows, particularly in the 90s, that made adults and it being an adult just look awful. And we were in a moment that was like really glorifying being young. It was like being young is great, being old sucks. Like, moms are shrews, jobs are terrible. Like, and I think Ally McBeal was one show where it was like, no, like you can have an imagination. I think all of those adults in that world still had imaginations. And I think that was what was speaking to me as a kid. And I'm curious if you all have like TV characters that you were like, oh, they made adulting look fun? Like, who are the TV characters that you were like, you're a grown up and that doesn't look bad?
I would have to say Coral from The Real World.
Oh.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. That's perfect.
That's it. End of show, best answer ever.
There's nothing else to say. What was it about Coral that really spoke to you?
Oh, she just really spoke her mind.
Yeah.
And to me, that was growing up as I did, I heard a lot that you talk too much or, you know, it was a lot of me not being able to have the freedom, a freedom of speech, so to speak. Like,
right.
Adults weren't trying to hear it. No one, you're not grown. Kids are seen and not heard. And I just wanted to talk my shit. And Coral did that as often as she felt like it.
I love
that.
That's
a good point. And I think, though, The Real World has similar things to Ally McBeal in that it was like, it was a safe way to have problems, though. Like, The Real World brings people of different backgrounds together. But for those 6 months, they're not worried about food. They're not worried about the cell bill. Like, it's okay. Like, the fights they have are just like, for fun, kind of.
Mainly because they're drunk.
They're extracurricular fights, you know? And the same with Ally McBeal. It's like, she has a law degree from Harvard and she's 28. Like, it's actually okay.
Yeah.
Like, see a dancing baby. Hang out at the bar. Like, it's all fun.
Yeah.
Did she bring up student loans once?
No. No, we didn't know about student loans back then. Which is why when I got mine in college, I go, what? No one explained this to me.
This was not on Ally McBeal.
I was like,
where is this on Ally McBeal?
Where is this? People talk about scholarships and financial aid. I got those things. Those don't cover everything. What's this word loan? I thought once you got a scholarship, you didn't need anything else. That's a lie.
David E. Kelly needs to erase student debt because it is his fault. David E. Kelly, take it on. He's married to Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, they can afford it.
They can afford it. They really can. They really can.
The Dangerous Minds money plus Boston Public. Like,
come on.
Yeah. I mean, how much money do you, now I need to know, like, how much money do you think he's actually making in residuals?
David E. Kelly has his name on a lot.
And that 90s money is nothing. You know, 90s money is like nothing else.
I don't know what I'm talking about. He's filthy stick. He's swimming in a pool of coins, Scrooge McDuck.
His net worth, allegedly his net worth is $250 million.
And that doesn't include Michelle Pfeiffer's money?
And that's just his net worth.
That doesn't even include Catwoman?
Well, let's see what hers is.
And you Googled that so fast. Okay.
Well, interesting. She's coming up with around the same number. So I wonder
maybe
it is joint.
But that would probably cover your student debt, Brickman, right? At least.
I put a lot of things on me. I told you, I didn't understand loans. Neither did my parents.
No.
My meal plan went on my loan. A lot of things that probably, in retrospect, shouldn't have gone on a loan, went on a loan.
You got to eat. You know what? It's your fault for not applying for Real World for one of those semesters. Then you could have had your food and shelter paid for by MTV.
You are 100% right. And every morning that I wake up and realize I'm not an alumnus of Real World is a morning where I go, why bother? Like, what am I doing?
It feels like a wasted opportunity for many of us.
I will say, this is a true confession.
This is good.
I used to play, like, when there was no one to play with, when there were no friends over, and I was bored, I used to play Real World audition tape by myself. And I would just practice my Real World audition tape. And then sometimes there became a moment in my life where my imaginary friends just became the people that I thought would be on my season of Real World. And I would just play Real World by myself. That's a real thing that used to happen.
You would play Real World in your imagination.
Yeah. I like invented people that I thought would live in my house and I would talk to them.
There was probably like a girl named like LJ or something. That's your roommate.
Yeah.
Like a guy named like Wizzy.
Wait, what kind of stuff were you saying on that?
No, the crazier part is that like I didn't even like have a video camera. Like I wasn't recording it. I was just like doing like solo improv games in my house.
Like, I need you to write an indie film right now about, not even about that, but have that, like have an older sister walk by a room where a little girl is just practicing Real World.
Well, and it all started like, and it all started because we had this exchange student and my exchange student was watching The Real World, and because she thought it was cool, I was like, well, now it has to be my whole personality. So she'll think I'm cool too.
This woman is the most influential person on the planet. 25 years later, here you are.
Oh, yep. Anyways, that's my truth. But Caitlin, who are some adults on TV that you thought made being a grown-up look cool?
It is a good question. I have been distracted just thinking about you.
About how deeply unwell I was as a child.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's the gag. So you would pretend to go on tape, not record yourself, and just be like, hey, my name is Lauren Brickman, and I'm from blah, 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 and this is my, what did you want MTV to know about you that made you a good contestant?
And like, it would depend on.
Because you played this game, freak. This didn't just happen once.
No, it happened a lot. And like, it would depend on like whatever seat. Like, I got different ideas from different casts. But like, I kind of was always the one that was kind of like a Julie that was kind of like, oh, because I was from Oklahoma and I was like, I've always been bigger. So I as a kid, I never had a like boyfriend on the playground or anything like that. So like, I was always kind of like I guess I'm here to like broaden my horizon. And yeah. Confessional and audition tape are two of my favorite games to play when I had no friends to play with.
I think one of mine, this person's, you know, canceled, okay, but the character's not, is okay. Aunt Becky.
Oh, yeah.
Because Aunt Becky from Full House, because, well, at first, you know, she didn't have kids, but she got to be around the kids.
Yeah.
And she could just leave. And she got to date Uncle Jesse. Like, early Aunt Becky years, before they were even married, she got to host Wake Up San Francisco, hang out with the kids, date a rocker, and leave when she wants.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, she was very cool. Life.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Too bad she blew it all up.
Girl, it's when, you know what? You don't know what the future holds, so let me shut up.
We've established that earlier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You could end up married to a 60-year-old Australian. You could be bribing USC. We don't know.
We really don't know.
You don't know.
On the flip side, what were the characters on TV that made you be like, being an adult looks terrifying and so scary. I don't want to do it. Please and no thank you.
The whole cast of Married with Children.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. You know what I heard? That show was initially supposed to be a black family.
Oh.
What?
That's interesting. They do live on the south side of Chicago.
I heard they had a really black writer's room. But now, can you see it though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. Now I want to see that though. Now I want to see.
Yeah, reboot. The reboot, yeah, and everything else.
Why not? Time to reboot it.
I don't want to see no trashy black family.
Oh, no. That's fair.
Well, they have to keep the trashy, but you know. Good point.
Good point. All right, let it
great
lie.
Great thesis, though.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's just been, you know, quarantine made me revisit a lot of content that I hadn't seen in a long time. And like, because, you know, listeners of the show, you know, I watch every television show that's on the air. And that's a lot of TV to watch when you're also leaving your house. Right. That's a lot of content. But during quarantine, I wasn't leaving my house, so I could watch everything that was currently airing, plus everything I'd ever watched in my entire life beforehand, too. And so revisiting it, I was just like, I loved adult stuff so young. And it's been fun trying to figure out, like, what was it about different things? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah. And some of, and it's been a fun kind of journey, and, you know, figuring, and it's fun to look back on that, on those like cultural touchstone moments and be like, oh, and that's why this is the way it is in my life today.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I'm opening my law practice.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, thank you so much. Something you just do, from what I can tell.
You know, Kim K doesn't have that law degree yet, and she's still out there litigating things or something. Hmm.
The old school apprenticeship laws in California.
She's my lawyer. Just call her.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Well, Rashida, now that our stands have fallen in stand with you, where can they find you on the webs, on the TVs?
Oh, okay. Well, season 1 and 2 of Bigger is on BET, the BET Plus app for season 2. And you can find me on all social media at RashidaCrockett.com or just at Rashida Crockett. I think that's how social media works, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
At Rashida Crockett.
And it's a good website. I was checking it out. Go stop by. There's a lot to, to consume on that website. I really enjoyed it. And Stan Stans, if you haven't already, be sure to go pound that follow with We Stan on Instagram and TikTok, where We Stan Social. And, you know, slide into our DMs. Email us. We want to hear from you. What topics should we get into next? What guests should we harass? You know, if you think I'm not still sending emails to Joshua Jackson's manager, well, look at my inbox, because you're wrong. So you tell us who you want on the show, and I will have no shame in pursuing them.
Hilarious. That is so true. Thank you, Rashida. You're amazing. My star student, my pupil.
Thank you guys for having me. This was so much fun.
You're so much fun. We had a blast.
And bye.
Thanks, Rashida.